Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Haunted History with Asher Brooks. I am your host, Asher Brooks, and today I have a bit of a shorter episode for you. We did a wonderful episode just a week ago. If you haven't checked out our first episode, please do. We're a brand new show. If you have a spooky story or strange tale that you want to tell, please let us know. I love researching and checking these things out, and I want to hear from you to see what I should do next. Every episode usually contains a special guest, but every once in a while, I'll do one of these one-offs. Smaller tales, shorter things that I like to share that aren't really big enough to be their own main theme, but are, of course, fantastic and things that I want to share with y'all. Today, we will be focusing on two incredible performers. The first, a strange performer from French vaudeville, a man known as the Human Aquarium. The second is an Egyptian with an act that earned him the name the Human Volcano. Both human somethings this week. Vaudeville was a very crazy place. There's a lot of interesting acts going around, but these are the two I found the most interesting. Now, before we begin, I must say, do not try the things I'm about to talk about at home. In particular, the Human Volcano did some things that you may be encouraged to try. You may want to try. When I was 12, 14-year-old kid, I wanted to do everything I heard about. Please. Do not try these at home. This was not something that was safe to do, and these guys did it anyway. Our first man is Louis-Claude Delaire, born in 1876 in Lyon, France. He appeared on the stage under the name Mac Norton. He began his career as a singer, but soon discovered an incredible talent. He had extreme control over his stomach and esophagus. His act was very simple, but fascinating to watch. The audience would come in, file down, and take their seats. They would notice that on the stage sat a large aquarium filled with goldfish, frogs, and two turtles. They would swim around, enjoying themselves while the audience filled up the whole theater. Once the lights came down, the curtain would open, and out came Delaire, a stocky man in a tux and tail. He would welcome them to the show and explain that he was possessed of extraordinary talents. He would then stop the show and call for a waiter to bring him a glass of water. This would quickly be brought, and he would down it, and then with a smile ask for 49 more, as he was still thirsty. The audience would watch one by one as waiters, or extras dressed as waiters, would present glass after glass of water until he had drunk all 50 glasses. Now, a glass of water, or a cup, 50 of them is roughly 4 gallons of water. That is, first off, an insane amount of water to drink. Your body cannot handle that amount. But once he had consumed all of it, he would smile. He'd light up a cigarette and smoke and chat with the audience. He'd talk with them for a few moments just to show that he wasn't in pain, he wasn't in distress. Once he had done smoking his cigarette, he would then perform what he called a fountain. Now, I'm going to be gentle about this, but he would produce a steady stream of water from inside his stomach, up through his esophagus, and out of his mouth. This isn't like somebody getting sick. This was quite literally like a water hose. This was the crux of his show, the skill that all of it relied upon. So if you can imagine a water hose worth of water coming from his mouth, steady and consistently, he could do this effortlessly. In fact, he would often begin his show by washing his hands in this fountain. He would have a bar of soap in his pocket that he would use to wash his hands. Once he had washed his hands and they were nice and clean, the real show could begin. Delaire then moved to the glass aquarium standing on stage and introduced his co-stars. 6 frogs, 6 goldfish, and 2 turtles. They were his pets when they weren't working together, and they were all named. He knew all of them individually. Once he had introduced all of his co-stars, the lights would come down, a spotlight would hit Delaire. He would then select a frog from the tank, gently place it into his mouth, and he would swallow it. It would come down his esophagus and into his stomach. This would, of course, cause gasps from the crowd. They watched transfixed as the frogs, the goldfish, and eventually even the turtles all slid down his gullet into his stomach below. He became, quite literally, a human aquarium. He assured the audience that all of his partners, his co-stars, were perfectly safe. The glass tank now empty and the audience mesmerized, Delaire would pull out another cigarette, happily smoke it. As if nothing strange had happened, he would banter with the crowd, asking questions and occasionally referencing the passengers in his belly. Once his cigarette was finished, however, it was time for the triumphant finale. Delaire returned to the glass tank and began reproducing the animals. All his partners came one by one back into the tank. The goldfish, the frogs, and the turtles reappeared, all alive and unharmed. As each new amphibian reappeared, the crowd would shout with delight, laughing as he greeted his pets by name and placed them back safely in the tank. He is reported to have held frogs in his stomach for 2 hours before safely returning them to his tank, although his act usually lasted about 30 to 40 minutes, so they weren't normally in there quite that long. He also said that goldfish could not be held that long. Frogs were the best because they dealt with temperature changes quite well, but he knew that goldfish couldn't last long in his stomach simply because they have smaller bodies and they would begin to overheat. This would earn him, his show, would earn him raucous applause and moderate fame. He toured France and eventually appeared in front of nobles like Nicholas II of Russia. Gaining more notoriety, he performed in South America in 1915 and 16, but was never allowed to perform in the United States due to quite vocal opposition from the ASPCA. While certainly a strange and bewildering experience for his pets, it didn't appear to be harmful. Dallaire, in fact, bragged publicly that he had never lost a single pet. However, in private, he was less certain. Harry Houdini, wrote a book concerning Dallaire. It was called Miracle Mongers and Their Methods. In this book, he mentions that Dallaire returned to his dressing room after a show, and when he got there, he displayed much anxiety. It seems that after counting his frogs backstage, Dallaire realized that one of his pets was missing. Now, perhaps the frog simply escaped, or maybe was scooped up by an interested patron, but Dallaire seemed quite worried that he might have accidentally left it inside of him. Digested frogs or no, many people refused to believe Dallaire. They didn't think that he was actually doing it. They swore that it was an illusion or a magic trick, and who can blame them? I mean, the idea of leaving a turtle or a frog inside your stomach and then bringing it back up at will is insane. But Dallaire was truly performing this feat. In fact, a handful of people have made this trick work with various mediums. See, while Dallaire built a show around his partners, his pets, another performer decided to go a more fiery route. And here we come to the second member of our show today, Haji Ali. He was a similar performer who could also swallow incredible amounts of water and reproduce it. He used this ability and a little bit of science to become a human volcano. This was his grand finale, of course. His opening tricks involved other more simple things, swallowing colored handkerchiefs, bringing them up in a specific order. He had another act that was quite popular. He would light 8 cigarettes in his mouth, and instead of inhaling, he would swallow the smoke, bringing it down into his stomach. Once the cigarettes were smoked down to the stub, he would move on. He would do a few other tricks. He would often swallow, like, hazelnuts and almonds, and then he would be able to bring back whichever nut an audience member would describe. So they could call out almond, and he would pull up an almond. Another person would yell out hazelnut. He would bring up a hazelnut. Once those tricks had completed, he would start jokingly complaining of heartburn. He would burp, you know, on stage a few times, make a few jokes, and then with a huge flourish, he would lean his head back, open his mouth, and just bellow a huge column of smoke up into the air, rising like a volcano itself, like a man-sized Pompeii. But it takes more than smoke to become a human volcano. You see, the trick that earned him his name was his best and his last, his grand finale. This trick, like Dallaire's, required water spouts. It was reliant upon his ability to drink in all that water. Ali would, after drinking a miraculous amount of water, he would then drink a pint of kerosene, flammable liquid, often used in lanterns. If you've ever seen like an old-style lantern with a wick, kerosene is what's usually sitting in the bottom of that little glass receptacle. This is where the science comes in. See, a normal person would be poisoned swallowing kerosene. And again, dear listeners, please do not do this. It is unsafe. Many people who breathe fire these days will hold kerosene or other dangerous toxins in their mouths. But see, be clear, none of the modern performers are actually swallowing it. It stays in their mouth at all times. Kerosene and water don't mix. Now, Ali figured this out. Due to the different densities of the liquids, he could drink all this water, and then he would drink the kerosene, and it would sit on top of it. It would float like oil on top of water. They don't mix. Now, Ali is now full of flammable liquid, toxic liquid. Now that he's ready to go, he would light a torch, he would hold it up to his lips, he would have a drum roll called for, and during the drum roll, a wooden model of a castle, where a large home would be brought out onto the stage in front of him. Finally, the drum roll would cease, fire alarm bells would ring in the audience, and he would spray a continuous stream of fire from his maw. He would bring up that kerosene, it would hit the torch and explode, bathing this model in flame. He looked just like a dragon, or quite like his namesake, a volcano. His final bit of performance was, once the entire model was completely alight, he would take the torch, he would lean up and spew a huge gout of flame up into the sky, and then dramatically take a large bow. Of course, as the fire crackles up, the audience would erupt in cheers and laughter and whooping. Ali would then douse the burning model with the water he had stored up, acting as both flamethrower and extinguisher. Once the fire was out, Ali would turn and bow to the amazed audience. This trick, again, caused many to doubt him, but a panel of doctors attended one of his shows and did a full examination afterwards. Once they had, they officially declared that he was truly doing the feat. There were no tricks or illusions involved. Now, this was not enough for some physicians who simply didn't believe it. While doing a show in Canada, he reportedly, according to the Naugatuck Daily News, had more physicians come and examine him. This is a quote from that publication. "Physicians of three continents have puzzled over the gastronomical mechanism of this human ostrich without success. X-ray experiments have been made during his exhibition without a plausible explanation forthcoming, at least one that doesn't satisfy the critical. In fact, the profession of surgery has thrown up its hands in amazement over this human ostrich." Now, both of these men are incredible performers, and both were doubted, but it was truly this incredible feat of stomach, of gastronomic control, that allowed them to do their work. In fact, very few people have been able to copy this act, because it's not something that you can learn. It's not like the cup and ball trick of magic. They're not illusionists. One man who has been able to copy them, one man in particular, is David Blaine. Now, he is a magician slash crazy person who is willing to do incredible physical stunts. He doesn't just do card tricks. He's also one of those people that has, you know, he's held his breath for over 17 minutes. And he was obsessed, in particular, with Haji Ali. He wanted to know how the human volcano had done this trick. He knew it required water spouts, and so he went on this quest to find how to learn this skill. There's only one person in the world he was able to find who knew how to do it, and there was this man who lived in a very rural part of Africa. In fact, this man had learned how to store all this incredibly large amounts of water inside of him, because when he was a kid, there wasn't great access to clean water. Whenever he could, you know, find access to clean water, he would reportedly drink as much as he could, and then when he would get home, he would reproduce it, and used to clean things, used it in his house. This is something he learned when he was a kid, not from reading books about these people who had done it before, but simply because it was something he needed to do. Now, how anybody learns how to store that amount of water in themselves without dying is insane to me. But David Blaine apparently dedicated 2 or 3 years of work to trying to figure out how to do this. And once he did, he was able to perform both feats. You can actually see, I know for a fact, he did the frog reproduction act on Fallon, if you want to see that. And I know for a fact he has also done the kerosene trick. So if you'd like to see that, you can look it up. But know that the true credit for these incredible feats belongs not to David Blaine, but to Louis Claude Dallaire and Haji Ali, the human aquarium and the human volcano. Now, Dallaire performed his final show in 1949. After safely returning his 6 fish and 12 frogs back to their tank for the final time, he held his favorite frog aloft and declared, "All alive and kicking." He happily retired and then passed 4 years later. Haji Ali had a bit more of a star-struck career. He was featured in early movies. He was reportedly Julie Garland's, one of her favorite vaudeville performers. He was in stage shows until he finally passed in 1937. When he did pass, there were rumors that the Rockefeller Institute would pay $10,000 for the ability to examine his body, but they were unfounded. He actually often had that printed on his playbills, that the Rockefeller Institute or some other medical science wanted to examine his body, and it grew so popular that the Rockefeller Institute said, "We would like to have his body, but we're not going to pay for it." These men, after their careers were over, were recognized as truly incredible performers because of their singular skill. These were truly strange and fantastic men who amazed the world, and I'm very glad that we learned about them. If you'd like to know more about them, or if you'd like to learn or see what they can do, Haji Ali actually had a couple of his acts filmed. If you look it up, it's pretty easy to find him. You can look in The Human Volcano. You can look under his name, Haji Ali, H-A-D-J-I, space A-L-I. If you'd like to look him up, please do. Having said all that, having learned about these incredible people, that will bring us to the end of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us. I really appreciate you guys checking us out. This is our second episode. Our next one, hopefully, will have a wonderful special guest on it. I won't reveal who that person is yet, but I can tell you that our main theme will feature the amorous activities of Abraham Lincoln's assassin, John Wilkes Booth. Just a little teaser, did you know that when John Wilkes Booth was killed 12 days after he assassinated President Abraham Lincoln, he was found with not one, not two, but five different women's photos in his diary? In fact, he had a lot more women in his life than that, but we'll learn about that next time. So once again, thank you so much for listening. You can check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor. If you prefer a visual format, we are also on YouTube. The show is, like I said, Haunted History with Asher Brooks. I am your host, Asher Brooks, and thanks for listening, folks. And remember, don't drink kerosene. You will die. Have a good night.